Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr. Matt Scraby sitting in for Mr. Elo and joining us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline, Brent Sobleski, Bleacher Report. Brent, as always, a pleasure to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me, as always, gentlemen. And what a crazy week it's been. Wonderful. Wonderful coming off the holiday last week. But same time, the NFL has been in the upside down, as we should call it, much like on Stranger Things.
Love it.
Yes, definitely in the upside down. And listen, I think, obviously, with the Ravens-Steelers game ongoing as we're doing this interview, can we talk about the scheduling, how crazy that was? I mean, they went from a Sunday night game to being pushed back to Monday, then to Tuesday, then to Wednesday. Just talk a little bit about your thoughts and how the whole scheduling situation went down.
Well, I think the thing that's most important to take away from all this is the juxtaposition of this particular contest as opposed to what occurred with the Denver Broncos. And the reason I'm paralleling these two contests is because of what occurred in each scenario. So in Baltimore, you had a contact tracing with the entire quarterback room that prevented them from playing Sunday. They did not move the game, whereas they took the late Thanksgiving night game and moved it almost a full week to today because of an outbreak throughout the entire Baltimore Ravens roster. And the reason that that differentiation is important between these two is that the NFL is looking at it not from a competitive standpoint, but from a health standpoint.
Right.
If the virus, and as they deem it necessary, is under control, you will still play the game. It doesn't matter which specific players are out sick, you will still play the game. If it is a situation where, like in Baltimore, you had, nine straight days mm-hmm. of positive tests, that's when you need to move the contest to make sure and keep everyone as healthy as possible. So while, yes, I understand the disdain, people being upset, and everything of the NFL's handling of all this, they are trying their best to make sure people are safe as possible to play football so we can enjoy it.
And for the record, Brent, I don't begrudge the NFL at all. I think they're doing everything in their power to keep everybody safe. And it just, the optics of it, I think from the outside looking in for some people, looks a little funny. But I personally think the NFL has done the best possible job, given that they're the only sport that really took the risk of playing during this time where we knew the second wave would be coming.
Yeah, outside of a bubble. So
outside of a bubble, that's right.
Exactly. And so it's a virus, people. I mean, you can't stop it. It's going to happen. People are going to get sick. It's going to spread. We understand that. You can only do as much as humanly possible based on what's available to you to try to keep people healthy. And that's really the concern that you're looking at on a day-by-day basis when it comes to the league itself. They know how fickle this season could potentially been. They understand that it could come to an end very quickly, but at the same time, they have been proactive. They have tried to put contingencies in place. They've tried to be receptive to all parties involved to make sure games and the schedule continue to go as unabated as possible. And to me, I agree with you that considering all these circumstances, and when you compare that to the overall issues in this country at the moment, meaning the outbreaks and the positivity level found throughout all the states, then I agree that they are doing as best as they possibly can considering those circumstances.
Brent Sobleski, Bleacher Report, here with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Now, it sounds like you're okay with the Broncos playing their game as is with the quarterback that they had. And I kind of thought it was they should have waited a few days to see if the guys on the quarterback room were able to play and they tested negative, because it is kind of dangerous to put a quarterback out in the field that's not an actual quarterback trying to throw balls to receivers down the field where he doesn't, if he locates it in a different spot, they're going to get crushed down the middle. I just felt like that was a little strange to the NFL just to kind of prove a point, it seemed like.
Well, to a degree, I understand that point of view, but I want to harken back to a quote from Vic Fangio from earlier this year, and I brought it up here recently. This was actually from October 11th, and this is a direct quote, so you can beat me if you like when you air this quote. He stated, "You can see who the whiners are, who the bitchers are, and who can handle the adversity." And it kind of flew back in his face, did it not?
It did.
Look, it did.
he didn't complain really, though, so I got to give him credit.
No, he's not complaining, and but it comes down to what are the guidelines and how are they set forth. And now, to your point about them setting an example, I do believe that played a small part in all of this, because we have the reports that they weren't wearing masks, those quarterbacks. They weren't adhering to the guidelines that's been set forth by the league. And so we can put that into a piece of the equation, but I don't think it's the vast majority of what the NFL was trying to accomplish with this. I think they were just simply trying to stay consistent with the way they've handled it all year long. It may look like it's inconsistent from many on the outside, but they're not looking at this from a roster point of view. They're not looking at it from a competitive point of view. They're looking at it strictly from a health point of view and what they're being, how they're being guided by doctors and those who are telling them the best way to handle these situations.
Brent, it's funny that you brought up the Vic Fangio quote, because he looked like he was very aware of those words as he sat in that presser after that game was played, and he talked about the disappointment he had for his quarterbacks. It seemed like he was aware of that statement he made back a couple of months back. So let's talk about some actual football. The Browns, your squad, still a major storyline here. They're 8-3. It's been ugly in a lot of senses, but nevertheless, they are 8-3. Is this team for real, or is the record better than it really says they are?
Well, it's a little from column A and a little from column B. And the reason I state that is 8-3 is wonderful, and Browns fans should be ecstatic. It's really one of the feel-good stories of the NFL. If there wasn't a pandemic going, we'd be talking about what's going on in Cleveland far more than we are. Looking at it, though, when you start to break down how they're winning, and I'm not trying to downplay a team simply because they're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. That's a big step in professional sports for an organization. But at the same time, they've beaten one team with a winning record. One. And that was the Indianapolis Colts. And so they're pounding on those franchises who are not performing well. And now they're reaching to the meat of their line, or to their schedule, when the next 2 weeks you face Tennessee Titans and hopefully a healthier Baltimore Ravens over the next 2 weeks before you face those Jets and Giants in weeks 15 and 16. So in reality, they don't have to beat another winning team. They could potentially beat the Jets and Giants and get into the playoffs with 10 wins. But I think it'd be far better for them, their overall mentality, and just proving to themselves that they can go out and beat a team like Tennessee, or they can go out and beat one of their big brothers in the Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers, because all three of those are still on the schedule.
Yeah, Brent Sobleski, Bleacher Report, here with us on SDCCU Fan Hotline. Now, Chris isn't here, so that means I get to badmouth the Dolphins while he's not here. And Tua Tagovailoa, he doesn't look like he's going to play this week. He didn't play last week because of a thumb injury, which made Ryan Fitzpatrick come back into the starting lineup as the quarterback. And I think that Fitzpatrick gives them a better chance to win this season than Tua Tagovailoa. What do you think? Do you think that they're making the right move by keeping Tua as the starter?
Well, I thought it was the wrong move in the first place to put the lineup based on their reasoning. Based on their reasoning.
Thank you.
I hated the idea that he was starting so they can get a look at him just in case they had a top three or four pick based on the Houston Texans trade for Laremy Tunsil. That drove me nuts. Now, with that said, once you install him as your starter, he's your guy. You have the fifth overall. You invested the fifth overall pick in him for a reason. I don't believe in going back and forth between your quarterbacks. You need timing, practice, rhythm, and reps. And when you're not getting those, you're not going to perform at a high level. So, yes, you have Ryan Fitzpatrick, one of the most probably the best, I don't even know if we should call him a backup, but one of the best veteran presences in any quarterback room. But at the same time, Tua is your guy moving forward. You're already ahead of the curve when it comes to your rebuilding process. And so anything that you win beyond this point is gravy. And let's be honest, I just mentioned that I won't slate a team for beating the teams that you should beat. But at the same time, the Dolphins just beat up on the Jets. I mean, come on.
They did. Good point. One last one for me, Brent, and that has to do with the old GOAT out in Tampa
New
Bay. Tom Brady. Are we going to see this offense mesh together the way I think a lot of people envisioned it? It just seems like Bruce Arians and Tom Brady, the fit hasn't been quite right so far.
Well, therein lies the problem, right? Expectations were out of control before they ever took the field. And anyone who's watched either Tom Brady and or Bruce Arians' offensive system knew that was not an ideal fit. But we had Coach Arians come out publicly and said, oh, Tom can still make those throws. We're not going to change the system. First of all, that's bad coaching. You're supposed to adjust to the talent on your roster, which bothers me unto itself. But secondly, just being so stubborn and your approach overall when you go out and sign the GOAT at the quarterback position and have all the weapons available to you, start playing to his strengths. Start building around him. Start changing the way you can win football games, because yes, they're still in the playoff hunt. Yes, they're still very, very talented, but you want to maximize these last year or two with Tom Brady as your quarterback, and the only way to do so is playing to the doing the things that he likes. And we know that he's very adamant about doing things a certain way, that he likes to play and incorporate certain aspects like that Tampa Bay's not using regularly, whether it be pre-snap motion or play action to help him identify coverages and reads. And these are little things that you can do to help him, and right now they're not. So it is problematic. And, yes, they may get into the postseason just based on talent alone, but unless something changes over the next 5 weeks, they're not going to be a team that's going to be a Super Bowl contender. They'll just be one of those one and done or two and done and out.
Yeah, and that will only make the conversation grow louder. Brent, as always, man, appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise on this NFL season. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you, gentlemen. Back to this albatross of a game that's ongoing.
Brent
Cebulski, Bleacher Report there on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you can win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Let's get to break. When we come back, we have some NFL news and notes. This is Gwen and Chris Sanigo's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's 6:18 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scravey sitting in for Chris Sello. The women's Aztecs team falls 75-71 to Scravey.
California Baptist?
There you go. Nice work. After butchering the opponent for the first 2 hours of the show, we finally got it right.
That was Chris's fault, by the way.
the voice of the women's Aztec team?
It was his fault. I hope his boss isn't listening.
6:19 on the dial, and that brings us to some NFL news and notes. Scravey, take it away.
Thank you very much. Big day in the NFL with Wednesday afternoon football in the Pittsburgh Steelers frozen tundra. I don't know. I'm just trying to change it up a little bit, Tony.
Didn't have that
just trying
kind
to change
of
it up
today.
A little bit. We talked about it last with Brent Cebulski on the interview that we did with him and about the Denver Broncos. Well, the team has decided to fine all four of its quarterbacks for violations of COVID-19 protocols, including not wearing masks. So that's Drew Locke, Brett Rypien,
Blake Bortles, and Jeff Driscoll. Fangio had said earlier this week that all forms of discipline were on the table for the four, but it looks like they're going to get Drew Lock back for the game, this coming game coming up this week. And so they're not going to have to go play a backup wide receiver who played quarterback in college. I mean, I can't even believe. I still am in a little bit of shock that they were forced to play with a guy who's never played professional quarterback. He's never taken a snap on the field before in a real NFL game. I don't know. I'm still at a loss for words for it. I don't think I'll ever understand that decision by the NFL to keep playing. But
yeah, listen, we can go back and forth on that. This is the way the NFL is pushing. I found it interesting though that I guess Denver kind of had to find their players, considering they almost took their whole team. They had no quarterbacks. That is just outrageous to me. But they made it work. I mean, they didn't make it work because they got blown out, but they got through the week, I should say.
They did get through the week. I put up a poll on my Twitter, and I said, how many yards are the Broncos going to pass for today? Is it going to be 1 to 50, 51 to 100, 101 to 150? Well, I guess I should have made the choices a little bit smaller because I didn't think he would throw for less than 50 yards. I mean, if someone was to ask you how many yards you think that they would throw for before the game, what would you have said?
If say it one more time?
If someone were to ask you before the game, how many yards are the passing yards are the Denver Broncos going to have when the game's over today? What would you have said?
I would have said 40.
Okay. All right. Well, I would have said I think I was thinking that the guy was going to be much better than he was.
I didn't think they were going to try to throw the ball that much. Honestly, I mean, an NFL game, guy hasn't thrown a pass since college. You're going to run him out there and drop back any amount of times. I wouldn't have been surprised if they didn't throw the ball at all that game, honestly.
I give the guy a lot of credit for going out there and putting his life on the line while he is being chased by 350-pound men around the field. So good for them. But Drew Lock, he has owned this mistake. He has taken responsibility for this mistake. And I know it's a stupid move because you have to wear your mask when you're inside the facility. But, I mean, I don't think he did anything terrible, to be honest. I don't think he did. But some people are like, oh, this is what you get. You get this. You're going to wear this for the rest of your career. I don't think that's true at all. I don't think that he's going to wear this for the rest of his career.
Who going to wear this for the rest of his
career? Drew Lock.
No, he's not. Come on, man. You know, come on. That's ridiculous.
That's what some writers are saying out there.
We won't wear it for the do our memories. We have such short memories about everything. As many people have we seen not wearing masks. I highly doubt this is going to stick to him. It might stick to him for maybe the rest of this season, but I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of the season we're not even thinking about it.
I agree with you. Some other news that the NFL has released. It was a couple days ago they released this news, but the league fined the Saints $500,000 after the players and the team posted a video on social media showing unmasked team members celebrating their November 8th victory over the Buccaneers in the locker room. The NFL also took away a 7th-round pick as punishment. So they're not joking around. 500 grand and a 7th-round pick is big-time punishment.
It's a huge punishment. And you know what? I think that's the way NFL has to play it. You know, if you're going to be fighting through a pandemic, you got to be willing to say, hey, we're going to try to do it right. You know, even if not everybody's on board, I think they got to have these rules like that.
The Chicago Bears, did you see what they did last week with their quarterbacking situation? They put back in Mitchell Trubisky.
I did see that.
Nick Foles was injured, so Mitchell Trubisky came back in. It looks like he is going to start again for the Chicago Bears against the Lions this weekend. Watching that game on Sunday night, I actually think that Trubisky just looks like the better quarterback. He's more mobile. He might not be the better decision maker. He might not have the biggest arm in the world, but I'd rather have a guy who is able to move over a guy who's a statue in the pocket, which is what Nick Foles is. And I can't believe this. Do you believe that Nick Foles is 31 years old? I thought he was at least 35.
Well, the way he moves, it might make you think that he's 35.
True.
Listen, I think ultimately anytime it's going to – if you don't have an offensive line, of course Trubisky's going to look like the better quarterback because he's more mobile, he's younger, he can move around. Nick Foles needs a good line in front of him. If he has time to throw, Nick Foles, we've seen, can win you a Super Bowl. But when he doesn't, he's very, very mediocre.
That's true. He's very, very mediocre is a good way of putting it. The next note that we have, the Philadelphia Eagles, for all you fantasy players out there who have Zach Ertz on your team, it looks like he will be playing this Sunday against the Packers. They have activated him from IR, and Lane Johnson, the tackle for the Eagles, has been put on injured reserve, and it looks like, I believe he's going to miss the rest of the year with ankle surgery. So the Eagles are struggling big time, but they're still in it for the NFC East, which is so insane.
Everybody's still in it for the NFC East. That's the cold part.
Another NFC East team that's still in it is the New York Giants, and their quarterback, Daniel Jones, it doesn't look like he's going to play this weekend. He had a hamstring injury. I don't know how much you saw this, Tony, but he tried to come back in the game, and he had to pull himself back out. I understand why he wants to play, because he's in a big market. People are trying to figure out whether or not he's going to be the quarterback of the future. But if you're going to go out there and you're going to hurt yourself more because you want to prove how tough you are, I don't think that's a smart decision. But, hey, good on him for going out there and trying at least. Colt McCoy. Never thought I would hear that name again as a starter in the NFL. But he is the backup for the Giants. That's not a good backup for me. If I'm the GM, I'm like, I'm not riding with Colt McCoy as my backup.
Well, you got to remember that it is your backup, and, you know, you're not paying good money for backup. So, I mean, you get what you get. The backups in the league are just that. They're meant to play in case of an emergency or a backup situation. They're not necessarily going to go out and win you a division.
I know that a veteran quarterback can help a younger guy like Daniel Jones, which Colt McCoy is. He's a veteran quarterback. He's been in the NFL for a while. Started a lot of games, so I understand that. But I don't think that he's very good on the field as a player. But you know what? The Giants, they're still fighting for a playoff spot. Right. Deshaun Watson, quarterback of the Texans, is without his favorite receiver, which is Will Fuller. Will Fuller is going to be out for 6 games for performance-enhancing drugs. It's a violation, and so is Bradley Roby, another player on the Texans. Does that tell you anything when two players on the same team get popped for steroids or PEDs? Can't say steroids. It was PEDs. But does that tell you anything?
No. It just tells me that they got caught taking something they wasn't supposed to take.
But it wasn't their fault. It wasn't their fault. They didn't know.
Yeah, I just ignore those extra words afterwards.
I just ignore those extra
because
words.
I ultimately, even if I gave you the benefit of the doubt and you honestly didn't know, you're putting it in your body, so it's ultimately your responsibility to know what it is. So, you know, that's where I come down.
Yeah, and if you're a professional football player, you want to know what's in your body just because you don't want to have to forfeit 6 game checks. I believe they have to forfeit 6 game checks. I would assume they would. So, yes. Like you said earlier, initial reports say Steelers' Bud Dupree suffers torn ACL. And, the last one. This is really what I wanted to tell you about.
You got really excited. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it was. I just saw it on the dock. It was below the fold. But it's from a tweet from a Steelers player, Steven Tuitt. And he said before the Ravens-Steelers game kicked off today, he said, good luck to the boys today. Pad the stats. Should be an easy one. Eyeing my return for next week against Washington where I should catch up. I say it because I believe it. So a little bit of trash talk right there from Tuitt. I've never heard of Tuitt.
Fortunately for him, his team won. So, you know, he can...
They didn't pad the
day.
Stats, though.
They did not pad the stats. I think Mike Tomlin called it a junior varsity performance from his squad. So they didn't play well. They got the win, which really saves my man from probably getting pummeled during meetings next week.
Yeah, you should probably never say something like that because you're putting it in the universe for it to happen.
Indeed.
So that's it for the NFL news. It's very, very, very slow news day all around.
That is definitely true. Let's get to break. When we come back, we had AJ Cassville join us earlier to talk about some of the Padre moves that took place. In case you missed it, we'll have it for you. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 6:35 on the clock as we wind down to the end of the show. Matt Scraby sitting in for Chris Ello.
Doing a little jig over here.
Yeah, nobody can see it, so I wouldn't have had to mention it until you brought it up. But he is dancing. He is dancing some type of, I don't know what he calls himself doing.
It's not a dance, it's a jig.
A jig. Okay, he's dancing a jig right now. on the Zoom call. But nevertheless, some more baseball news came across the airways as we were on break there. The Dodgers have acquired veteran reliever Corey Knebel of the Milwaukee Brewers. Knebel was 29 years old, non-tender today by the Brewers. And so they decided to ship him over to the Dodgers for what they like to call now as a PTML. Player to be named later. That's where they printed it. It doesn't say player
PTML
to be named.
Or PTNL?
PTNL, yeah, player to be named later. Dodgers adding more depth to that bullpen. Knebel, not too long ago, 2017, was an all-star. Had pitched in 76 games, 1-4 with 39 saves and a 1.78 ERA and 120 strikeouts. Since then, he's pitched in 15 games last year after missing the 18 season with Tommy John surgery. So, didn't have that great of a year last year. Dodgers make moves like this often where maybe the year that the pitcher is coming off, relievers coming off, may not have been that good, but they find ways to have these reclamation projects and they fix them up and they come out these new shiny objects. Hopefully, that won't be the case here for Campbell. Not going to lie, I hope we don't wish him to have a bad year, but yeah, he pays for the wrong team at this point. So.
I can't stand to see the Dodgers get better. I just can't stand it.
Yeah, it doesn't make anybody feel good.
And this PTNL, the player to be named later, PTBNL, I guess. PTBNL, player to be named later.
I missed a letter, my fault.
It could be... I mean, it could be anyone. It doesn't need to be someone that they're giving up right now, right? I know there's terms in the trade that they have to name the player at a certain point.
Right.
Do they agree? I don't even know. I don't even want to break it down. It's just so disappointing.
Do they agree to what?
Do they agree to, like...
Sometimes they agree early. Like, the move that sent Trey Turner to the Nationals from the Padres, right? He was drafted, so he couldn't necessarily be traded right away. It had to be a player to be named later. They agreed that it would be that player, but technically he couldn't be traded right at that point.
I see.
So they had to wait, and he ends up being the player to be named later. And everybody's like, well, if you had a chance to change that, why didn't you? Well, it was already agreed to. That's why he had to go.
Okay,
that's
a great explanation because it seems like you can get a player now. You're borrowing credit without having like any credit to tell the people
like,
that you have.
For instance, sometimes it may come down to like two players.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them's hurt. And you give the team the option to see how he progresses. If you end up if by a certain deadline you're not liking what you're seeing, you go with the other player. You know what I'm saying? There's different ways those agreements can kind of be put together. But in that particular case, my guess is that they've already agreed to it. They just haven't released who the player is going to be. Time to also cast consideration. Now, with that non-tender deadline coming today, there has been some new names added to that free agent list that maybe people weren't anticipating. Obviously, if you're non-tendered, you become a free agent, so that adds to the pool. Kyle Schwarber is probably the top name out of the candidates today that got non-tendered that will hit the free agent market. He's a 3.0 F WAR, so he's kind of valuable in today's game. Although he's probably had more press than maybe deserved. I think he came into the league with a lot of hype and had a great postseason the year they won it all. But other than that, I think there's been a lot left to be desired for.
He's had off the field stuff, right?
Oh, he's been hurt. He's had some injury issues, but I think when he tore his ACL and his LCL in his left knee right after the fall classic, right before, but he hasn't been productive really somewhat since then. The slugger production has been somewhat suppressed by struggles versus lefties. He's posted a 188, 308, 398 slash line over 59 games in 2020, and as a left-handed hitter, that kind of poses a little bit of an issue there. You're not hitting lefty. So he's another guy that got put into that pool of free agents today. Hanser Alberto, a second baseman, third baseman for the Orioles. He also was non-tendered. Eddie Rosario, who
that's a big name too.
That's one of the bigger names. He was part of that bomb squad for the Twins. He's not – I don't even know if he was non-tendered. I think he was outright released, I believe.
He was put on waivers, yeah.
Put on waivers, and then I assume released. Brian Goodwin, outfielder, was with the Angels and the Reds last year. He's added to that. This is a name Padre fans will be familiar with. Archie Bradley, who was with the Diamondbacks, was also non-tendered. He got traded from Arizona to Cincinnati at near that deadline time, and unfortunately, he's not going to be tendered. So he's a free agent. He's a guy who, you know, maybe the Padres take a look at, considering their familiarity with him as you try to add pieces to the bullpen. Really, there's some more names on here. Danny Santana, Adam Duvall, who had the unbelievable home run stretch there for the Braves. Didn't get to participate in the playoffs. I believe he got hurt. He'll be a free agent, big bat. Be interesting to see how guys like that, because he could be a DH too, and we don't know yet.
When the heck are they going to figure this out?
It's not going to be.
It's getting
annoying. Won't be till close to spring training.
Are you kidding?
Because they have to. It has to be negotiated between the players.
I know. I keep hearing that, but they need to do something about that because teams need to figure it out.
I 100% agree, but it doesn't seem like that conversation is going to be had, because guess what? Free agency has already started. So, unless it's coming down here in the next couple of weeks, it's not going to really matter. Teams already have to have already put their budgets together in terms of what they're going to spend, and not having that information. My guess is because of that, it probably will only be in the American League this year. Because, right, National League teams would want to be taking full advantage of this.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now. And you can't sign guys thinking you're going to use them as a specific DH and then take on the payroll and then not be able to use
them
as a DH.
Then they're just sitting on the bench as a pinch hitter, a really good pinch hitter.
That doesn't work well. So that's just a few of the new free agents that have entered the pool after being non-tendered today. All right, let's check traffic before we get to AJ Casavell. Here's Kelly Danick. A frequent guest of ours, AJ Casavell, joins us. AJ, how you doing today, brother?
Not bad. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Padres decide to tender a contract to Tommy Pham. There was a lot of speculation that maybe that wouldn't be the case. You surprised at all?
No, I'm not really surprised. I think the kind of production that they expect him to bring, and it's not what he brought in 2020 because of all the injuries and all the time he missed. I think at whatever he ends up making, whether it's $8 million, $9 million, if he's the player he was in St. Louis and then in Tampa Bay, that's worth it, because that kind of threat in the middle of your lineup, that kind of guy who gets on base and who's a pretty motivating force in the clubhouse. I'm not surprised. I understand why there were some questions about it, given maybe the financial state of just the landscape of the sports world and of baseball in 2020. Yeah. But I think all along this was probably the outcome we expected.
Do you think there's reason to be concerned a little bit? I mean, when you consider the injuries that we knew about, and then you hear about the one that no one seemed to know about with the tendon in the wrist, is there reason to be concerned?
There's definitely reason to be concerned, and I think that's where the question marks came in about whether the Padres would tender him, because I mean he's 32 years old and he's dealt with injuries in the past, really the past 2 years that have slowed him down. But the player that's just a gamble that the Padres are willing to take, because the player that he can be when he's good is a player that is extremely valuable on a postseason team. I mean, we saw he was a contributor in the playoffs, and he was probably one of the more potent bats in that lineup. And so, yes, there are reasons to be concerned. Yes, there are reasons to ask questions. The Padres' starting lineup seems pretty set, but I think they need a little more depth than what they have. But Tommy Pham's not the guy you part with easily, and ultimately what this came down to.
AJ Cassavell, MLB.com, here with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. Now, we talked about Tommy Pham, and another guy we've been talking about, he kind of slipped under the radar, was Greg Garcia, and he was non-tendered today by the Padres. Do you expect them to fill that within, or do you expect them to be more active in free agency? I just said before the break, I made the bold claim that they're going to be super active in free agency in the trade market, which means that they're probably not going to be. So what do you think? Do you think that they're going to be able to fill that, or do they have to go looking for someone to fill that role?
Well, they have to go looking for bench pieces, and I don't know whether you find the exact same guy as Greg Garcia. Maybe you mix and match, like, 'cause he's a pretty good left-handed pinch hit bat off the bench, and he's also a pretty good versatile utility infield option. Maybe Jorge Mateo is that utility infield option going forward, but you still need someone who can come off the bat or come off the bench with a left-handed bat and make an impact and work some counts. And I think that was Greg Garcia's primary value, and I know he only hit 200 last season, but he grinded out at bats against good right-handed pitchers late in games, and you need to go out and find that, because I don't know that the Padres have that guy from within. So, like I said, I think their offense is pretty set as far as the starters. I mean, they're returning all 8 starting position players now, but they lost Erickson Profar and Jason Castro and Mitch Moreland and now Greg Garcia, and their bench was, I think, down the stretch last season, one of their strengths. Now they just need to kind of fill in the pieces. And I understand why they did what they did, why they didn't tender Garcia a contract, because they think there's better value to be found elsewhere. But now they need to go out and find that value.
Now, AJ, you said they haven't officially lost Jerickson Profar, right? Like, I know he's a free agent, but they could re-sign him, correct?
Sure, that's definitely an option. And I'm curious to see where the Padres kind of pool their resources, because they need pitching, and that is probably the primary aim. I think aim 1 and 2 is starting pitching and relief pitching. I'm not sure exactly in what order, but that's where the Padres are going to focus first. And so if Jerickson Profar has a more lucrative contract offer elsewhere, maybe you let him walk. But he would fit perfectly into what the Padres are trying to do in terms of a utility option who can fill the void, maybe if Tommy Pham's injuries don't heal like the Padres hope they would, or step in the infield as a switch hitter and give some of those guys some time off. So I think he's definitely an option, but I also think the Padres utility infielder isn't obviously their top priority.
Right.
Their first priority is pitching.
Yeah. You lead me into the perfect segue, the pitching. I mean, I think going into the off season after the playoffs, after the Padres were bounced from the playoffs, there was optimism that, all right, you could have Mike Clevenger back, you could have the Nelson Lamet back. As we sit here on December 2nd today, it's a question mark at best if you have the Nelson Lamet back. We know Mike Clevenger's done for the year. Where do the Padres go from here? Because it's hard to say that you can see this team taking that next step forward unless this front end of the rotation is addressed.
Yeah, they need pitching somewhere in that rotation. I don't know whether you can address the front end of their rotation in-house and kind of hope for a real bounce back from Chris Paddock or for Mackenzie Gore to kind of blossom into that ace that we've all expected him to be. But they're going to need to do something pitching-wise, because Mike Clevenger's spot in the rotation was a guy they're counting on for 30 starts or so, and he's a guy they're counting on to be one of the better arms in the rotation. I don't know whether the answer is signing a Trevor Bauer or trading for a big name like Blake Snell. Like, those are going to be extremely pricey propositions that half the league is in on. And so to expect something like that, it might be that might be a little bit too much. But there are other options, and I think there are a lot of pretty good options in the relief market. And I just think the Padres need to kind of AJ Preller is going to go about finding the best value he can find, whether that's a number 2 starter, whether that's a number 3 starter, whether that's maybe 2 or 3 lockdown bullpen weapons to turn what I think is already a pretty good bullpen into an elite bullpen. I don't know where it is. I know the pitching market is it's, I mean, we saw what Trevor May got from the Mets. It's
right.
pricier than I think some people maybe thought it would be going in. We'll see how it plays out going forward.
AJ Cassavell with us on the SDCCU fan hotline. Now, Tony talked about the front end of the rotation. What about the closer spot? Because, you know, you have Drew Pomerantz under contract, but then you also have Trevor Rosenthal and Kirby Yates that are not under contract. Where do you think that they go with that? Do you think that they'll be able to, they'll bring back one of those two guys that aren't under contract?
Yeah, it's very possible that Drew Pomerantz becomes the closer, but even if that's what happens, I think the Padres are looking to add a big-time relief weapon, and then if you're looking at who those weapons are, I mean, Trevor Rosenthal is definitely one of them. Kirby Yates, if he can get back healthy and looking like 2019 Kirby Yates, he's definitely one of them. And so, yes, the Padres are absolutely interested in that because they need – you could fill out a pretty good bullpen as things stand, but they need more than that. They need more depth, and they really need one or two guys who, when you get to the postseason, you can count on to be lockdown weapons. I mean, that's elite bullpens win in October, and that's what the Padres are trying to build. And I don't think what they have right now is a good bullpen. They'll look externally to kind of try and solidify it. And I think Yates and Rosenthal are definitely among the options.
One last one for me, AJ. Obviously, Denelson, as we sit back and kind of wait to see how he feels as we get closer to spring training, what do you know about his throwing program this month? Is this something that they're, you know, paying a lot of attention to?
Definitely. There's a lot of people in the organization, I think, kind of holding their breath. So far, the news has been good because, I mean, there hasn't been a whole lot of news to glean, but it hasn't been what happened with Mike Clevinger where his elbow didn't respond. I think Denelson Lamet has been – I mean, he has responded well, but he's responded well and he's not really – he hasn't ramped up his throwing yet. Now, pretty soon he's going to start doing that, and that's when we'll learn – we might not even learn more until spring training. And so I think a lot of people are holding their breath for when he gets into game action and when he faces hitters. Did that PRP treatment work? I mean – a lot hinges on a healthy Denelson Lamet in 2021. And so I think it's fair to feel a little nervous going into camp and going into the 2021 season as to whether he can hold up health wise. But thus far, given all the treatment he got thus far, there's no warning sign aside from what we know is an obvious warning sign, which is the fact that he had a season shut down because of an elbow injury.
You say nervous. Yeah, I say extremely scared on my part.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair.
It is. The reality is, with these PRPs, it is a flip of the coin. Some guys respond really, really well to it. Some guys don't respond well at all. Hopefully, Denelson Lamet is on the respond really well program part of this. AJ, as always, man, appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. We'll catch up with you again here soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. AJ Cassavell there on the SDCCU fan hotline. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Scrape.
Yeah.
Do you have an update for us in this Aztec basketball game right now?
I absolutely do. It's a close one. Yeah. With a score of 48 to 16, the Aztecs are leading at halftime.
I was about to say the boys from St. Catherine came in and have made it a game, huh? But not really. They're down quite a bit.
Surprisingly, on my app, it tells you, like, sometimes you can go through and you can pick the winner of the matchup and it'll tell you how many people across the country are picking. Surprisingly, 4% of 675 picks picked St. Catherine, so...
I'm sure the under is. I'm sure the line on that is favorable.
I couldn't find one earlier. I'm not joking.
Maybe that's why the 4% did what they did. They did find it. Unfortunately for you.
That's true. That's true.
That's going to do it for our Wednesday show. Tomorrow, the crew is back in full force. Chris, myself, and Matt will be here. Same time, same channel, and. We'll even have a better show for you tomorrow.
Howdy do.
We'll have an even better show with our man Chris Ello back in town. All right. You guys enjoy your night. We'll see you again tomorrow. Peace.
Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.